Over 40 in Vancouver. Hi, I'm Roland.
I'm Dale.
We're at Revolver.
Not Revolver. Archive. Revolver,
direct to tape, as Dale likes to say, although there is no tape involved, as far as I can tell.
I always laugh.
Maybe there's a little rat running around on a tape reel.
I laugh when I hear all of these professional audio people and radio people, and they still talk about getting it on tape. I got good tape.
Our topic today is Berlin.
Berlin.
I just came back from Berlin.
First you take Manhattan.
Then you take Leonard Cohen's Berlin. So a city of history, a city of cheap food.
Is it really?
Cheap accommodation, cheap transit.
It's supposed to be a happening place now.
It's very cosmopolitan. It's very international. I went to the barn. We'll take a picture later.
What is this barn?
The barn is a hip coffee roastery where Julius, who worked here for 6 months, works. And very much reminded me of this place. They have pour overs. They have espresso. And hilariously, they don't allow prams. And unless you order an espresso drink with milk, they won't give you milk or sugar. That's a little too hardcore for me.
That sounds very stereotypical.
Barb and Simon,
somehow.
My wife and son mysteriously love Berlin, even though they can't speak English. German. They can speak English. And it was easy to get around. Transit is amazing. The people are locker, relaxed. And the food is cheap. Turkish food is awesome and cheap. You can get like a meal for three for 19 euros, for example, in a Turkish place.
That sounds pretty amazing, actually.
And the museums. The history of museums, the history of the Cold War with the GDR, the history of World War II, numerous museums about World War II and all the layers of Berlin's convoluted, tragic history.
It's funny, I'm just, as we're talking, I'm realizing that
the memorials.
My understanding of Berlin.
You don't even have to go in the museums.
My understanding of Berlin only goes as far as the World Wars. Like, I know nothing about the history of the city before that.
Well, it was a divided city. The wall came up in 1961. There was the free movement of people between the two until 61. So there's a lot of tragedy there. The lives of the others, which is Das Leben der Anderen, the Academy Award-winning movie in German about the surveillance state of the Stasi and the GDR.
Yeah.
It's all true, and they have an amazing museum about that. For basically any aspect of Berlin's tortuous history, they have an amazing museum. If you're not a museum person, there's many outdoor memorials. They call them Denkmal or Denkstätte. And they have, if you don't want to be overwhelmed by World War II and the Cold War, they have the Pergamon, which is stuff the Germans acquired from Egypt and other places.
As all powers did at that time.
Yeah. And there's amazing food, and now the international people have moved in, so there's amazing coffee, amazing international food, and it's still relatively cheap. You can get a hotel room for about a third the price you get in San Francisco.
Wow.
So you can get a hotel room for 80 euros a night. That would cost 300 American dollars a day, a night.
I was just looking at some American hotel prices in Chicago, and it's pretty depressing.
You going to Chicago?
Not anymore. I knew a guy.
Aren't there some nice, really nice bed and breakfasts in Chicago?
Maybe I should check that out. But the conference hotel is like 200 American a night, which is like 5,000 Canadian a night. So, but Berlin, I knew a guy who was inducted as a child soldier.
Whoa!
When the Russians were invading the city. Kind of an incredible story. The desperation of the last thing, it was like of the last push.
Was he a German? And he forced him to be a soldier?
He was a German. He was a kid. He was like, I think, 14 or something. And they basically, some soldiers like tapped him on the shoulder, gave him a rocket launcher, an anti-tank thing, and said, defend the city. And then they buggered off. And he was like, everybody was looking at each other because he wasn't the only one. And there was like a range of people. And they kind of went, like, screw this, and then they took off.
27 million Russians died in World War II.
Amazing, yeah, amazing numbers.
There's 2 million circling Berlin. The Russians did not want to let Germany fall into total ally hands. They did not want a repeat of World War II. So, and the only people left were the young kids and the old men and the crazy SS.
Yeah.
And they made them fight. The Russians fought street by street, alley by alley, because the SS would not give in. Even at the bitter end, apparently.
Yeah.
Or the maybe it wasn't all SS. Maybe it was the people who were fanatics as well, but they weren't SS.
I think it was more, like you say, the people who were still at that point true believers. He was actually when
was he a believer?
When he ran off with the group. No.
He was like 10 years old?
He was a little bit older than that.
12?
Something 12 or 14.
Oh, my gosh.
When he took off, like, they've been told stories about all the horrible things the Russian soldiers would do to them. And probably if you were a soldier, that was the case. A group of them ran off. They hid in a barn. He got caught. And they basically, like, went, "You're a kid. Get the hell out of here."
War is barbaric. Well, Stalin or the generals famously gave the Russian soldiers free license to rape German women in the conquest of Berlin. So it was horrible on both sides. And yeah, all I can say is I'm glad I haven't lived through a war like that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the whole story is incredible. Like, I hope that we don't lose memory of that.
Well, in Berlin, you're not. And the Germans are the only country in the history of Western warfare who've apologized unequivocally, without qualification. And they've done a really good job of memorializing and apologizing. And compared to anybody else, because I'm 100% certain the Japanese have not made such an unequivocal apology, and the Austrians haven't either. So, and everyone else hasn't, like Spain for what they did to South America and what they did to the Philippines and their other colonies, all the other colonial empires. Britain for what they did to India. There were a lot of massacres under the British Empire.
Yep.
That. If they happened today, or if they had happened,
well, British colonialism in general, like the early third of the colonialism was pretty brutal. The last third, they were like the British gentlemen came out, but the first third was brutal. The one of the interesting things that I found, like, it was only about 5 years ago, Mel Brooks, the producers, you know, with that classic number, "Springtime for Hitler in Germany," the comedy thing.
Yeah,
that only played for the first time in Germany like 5 years ago, and it was a big deal because they had banned all the Nazi references. And
we still have.
The radio piece that I was listening to talked about how the young people are coming to terms with this history that they had like no part of, but is very much a part of the consciousness. Did you see any of that? Experience that?
Barb and Simon went to all that. Barb and Simon's a history buff. So they went to the German War Museum. They went to the DDR Museum. They went to the we went to the Holocaust Memorial. We went to, you know, so we saw a lot of things. Apparently, there's a series called Deutschland 1982 about the Cold War. That's one thing I wish I had time for, to see that, to see the GDR Museum and to see that. And what goes around comes around, right? So some people say that American empire is at the stage where the Soviet empire is, ripe for falling in 1989. and is decadent and about to fall in the same way. I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
I don't think in the same way. I mean, clearly there is, if you want to call it decadent, but there's some serious political corruption.
Well, we have the surveillance state.
And horrible stuff
we have,
happening there.
Killing and drones. True.
We have an underclass which
that we didn't have. It's hard, very hard to point to our moral superiority that we could have perhaps pointed to in 61.
Oh, we have no moral superiority.
We probably didn't have any then, and we certainly don't have it now.
What the Americans have with the black culture, we have with our indigenous culture. Like, as Canadians, we really cannot hold any high moral ground.
No, I'm just saying the Western world, not
Canadians. Western world, yeah.
Like in 61, when the JFK said, "Ich bin ein Berliner." I guess we could have pretended more easily that we had the moral high ground, we in the West. But today we don't have the moral high ground. It's quite obvious from Iraq and Afghanistan and even Syria.
And I'm not sure we ever
and
did.
And also, we had global warming.
We had the patina of it.
Yeah. And we got 9 seconds.
Oh, bye-bye.
Oh.
See you next
Berlin
time.
Memories. Ciao, choose.